Think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true.
Amen, Sister Mary.
I would tell you how He changed my life completely.
Amen.
He did something that no other friend could do.
That's right.
Amen.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Yeah. Glory to God.
There's no other friend so kind as He.
Amen, sister.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Oh, how much He cares for me.
Glory to God.
All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me.
God bless you, Sister Mary.
All my heart was full of misery and woe.
Yeah.
Jesus placed His strong and loving arms upon me.
Heaven.
And He led me in the way I ought to go.
That's right, sister. Amen.
No one ever cared for me.
Praise God.
Like Jesus.
Amen. He cared for you.
There's no other friend so kind as He.
Amen.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Amen.
Oh, how much He cares for me.
Glory to God.
Every day He comes to me with new assurance.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
More and more I understand His words of love.
Amen.
But I'll never know just why He came to save me.
What about that?
Till someday I see His blessed face above.
Amen.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, how much He cares for me.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from
Amen.
Me. Oh, how much He cares for me.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Feel it coming.
On the devil's time, this is perfect. 7:35:30, phone rang and said, the cows are in the hay field. I said, I was on my way to church, but let them have it.
Bless him, Lord.
He did all up for tomorrow. So
amen.
Bless him, Lord. Bless you, Brother Bill. Amen. Amen. That's good, brother.
What I wanted
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
A lot on my own.
Sing it, Brother Ben.
I thought I
bless him,
could make it.
Bless him, Paul.
All alone.
Yeah.
Ooh. I thought of myself.
Yeah.
As a mighty that I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
There it is.
And the valley is too wide.
Bless you, Lord.
Down on my knees.
Yeah.
Woo.
I've learned to stand.
Amen.
Because I can't even walk.
Bless you, brother.
Without you holding my hand.
Woo! Glory to God, yes.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
So true. So true.
Amen.
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 If you don't know that, you will know it.
Yeah. Amen.
It's going, you think up far enough down that's life's right. Road here.
That's right.
Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Kings tonight. 1 Kings. Chapter 20 tonight, 1 Kings chapter number 20 tonight. We're going to read beginning in verse 35. We're going to read verse 40 together. Read down to verse 43. Read verse 40 together when we get to it. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor, and the word of the Lord, smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. And then said he unto him, because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from thee, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. And then he found another man and said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. Behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be messy, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. Read verse 40 together. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself decided. He hastened and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and the people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. Thank you, may be seated. Lord, we ask you to add your blessings tonight to the reading, Lord, of the Word of God. And thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that we sensed in service tonight, not only sensed in ourselves, but saw Lord, upon the expression of people's faces and the motions of their hands, Lord, that they sensed the Lord's presence tonight, and they were blessed by it. And I pray you continue to meet with us and bless us And I pray you'd speak to me tonight.
Yes, Father.
Lord, speak through me rather tonight as we try to preach tonight, Lord, these verses of Scripture, make application, Lord, to our own lives tonight, that we might be better servants and be found doing your will. And, Lord, we agree with our brother that already prayed that if there's any lost here tonight, Lord, have mercy, convict their hearts. Let them realize, Lord, that the impending doom and danger, Lord, that's only a step away. They might run to the Lord and be saved, for it's everlasting too late. And, Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do, for forgiveness of sin, salvation of the soul, and the promise, Lord, of the second coming. We thank you for these things, and I ask your blessings tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
We kind of picked up in the middle of the chapter here, and if we'd read the previous verses there, we would have read there how that this prophet, he in what we read, he had disguised himself and as a servant. And the reason he's doing this is it's presenting a parable, so to speak, to Ahab, who was supposed to deal with Ben-Hadad, who he had been in battle with, and an enemy, and he was supposed to deal with him accordingly, but he didn't do that. We read in verse 34 that Ben-Hadad said, after his capture, Ben-Hadad said unto him, "The cities which my father took from thy father, I will restore, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, and my father made in Samaria." And then said Ahab, "I will send thee away in this covenant." So he made a covenant with him, and he sent him away. You can't make a covenant with the devil.
Amen.
And there's some people you just can't agree with.
That's
that was
right.
The problem with Saul when he went down and captured the Amalekites, and he spared Agag.
Yeah.
And God had told him to utterly destroy everything.
Yeah. Right.
He disobeyed the command of God, and therefore paid for it. Really paid for it. Now, we notice here in verse 40, he said, "As thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be." Notice that last part, "thyself hath decided."
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times in our life, we decided ourselves. We might blame God for it. Sometimes people say, "Well, I just can't believe God had sent anybody to hell." We decide that ourselves when we reject Christ, when we reject the Savior. We decide that ourselves.
Amen.
When we do things that are sin and God warns us about it, tells us not to continue in it, and we continue in it and then something happens. We come down with some tragic disease or something happens and then we say, "Well, I don't know why God did that to me." And many times that's answered in the latter part of that verse. "Thou hast decided it yourself."
Yeah.
Didn't through what God said do. And so it's not God that did it. It's our own actions that brought it about. But I want to pull away from this setting here. And I want to focus on the first part of verse 40 there, where the Bible said, "As thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone." Now, as we read here this evening, we know that in verse 35, this man, he was a son of the prophet. He just wasn't any man. He was one of the sons of the prophets. He was God's man. He was God's spokesman.
Yeah.
And the Bible said he went up to this man, and notice he didn't just say, "Smite me." He didn't just say of his own self, "Smite me." But he said, "The Lord, the word of the Lord." He said, "In the word of the Lord," he said, "smite me." In other words, he's saying, "God said, smite me." And the Bible said the man refused to smite him. Now, it might have been one thing if he had just went up and said, "Smite me."
Right.
The man said, "No, I'm not going to smite you." He'll be a prophet.
Right.
But he went up and he said, "The Lord said
right.
for you to smite
Amen.
Me." And the Bible said the man refused to smite him. Verse 36 said that then the prophet said, "Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee." And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. In other words, he said that because you didn't obey the Lord, because that you didn't do what the Lord told you to do,
He said, when you leave here, a lion will be in the way, and that lion will slay you.
Amen.
Can I tell you tonight that when God tells us to do something, and we have from the Word of God, it's not Brother Rick, or it's not the Sunday school teacher, it's not just some man saying something, but it's the Word of the Lord that speaks to us, and God says do something. And we leave and go out. We're going to meet the devil out there. He's a roaring lion that stalks about. And when we continually disobey God, the lion is going to get us. You better believe that.
Amen.
So he went a little bit farther, and he found another man there, and he said, smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him so that in smiting he wounded him. And the Bible said the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. After a little while, the old king comes by. Verse 39, and he passed by. And he cries unto the king, and he said, in the midst of the battle, he said, behold, a man turned aside, and I brought a man unto me, and said, keep this man, if by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And he says to Ahab, I've been out in the battle. And he said, while I was about there in the battle, he said, a man come by, give me this man that no doubt had been taken captive, and he told me to watch him. He said, now you watch him and make sure that he don't get away.
Amen.
Because if he gets away, it's going to be your life for his life. That's pretty important.
Well,
that's putting quite an emphasis there. He says, if this man gets away, he said, it's going to be your life for his life.
Amen.
He says, you've got one thing to do. Watch this man. Do not let this man get away. If he gets away, you're going to die.
Amen.
Well, the Bible said, he said to Ahab, verse 40, he said, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. He said, I was busy here, and I was busy there, and now the man's gone.
Right.
And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be, thyself hath decided. It's kind of like Nabal. Nabal, when he came to David, the prophet, David the king, and the prophet said unto David, he gave a little parable there, and then at the end of that parable he said, David, you're the man, you're the one. Well, it's kind of like that, is what's going on here. But I want to focus on the words there, verse 40, where he said, thy servant was busy here and there, and he was gone. Now, I want to preach tonight on a servant's honest confession of failure. This servant makes an honest confession in this little story that he tells Ahab here. And he said, thy servant was busy here and there. And he said he was gone. I failed at my task. What I was asked to do, he said, I failed in it. And I didn't get it done because I was busy here and I was busy there. And I didn't do the one thing that I was really asked to do. Now, I want to say tonight that God has given you and me some things to do.
Amen.
And there are important things that God has given for us to do.
Yeah.
And if we're serious tonight and honest tonight, we might say of some of the things that God has given us to do, I failed in what God told me to do.
Yeah.
You and I are servants of the Lord. I preached last Sunday night how that Paul said, there in the writing in the book of Titus, he said, Paul, a servant of God.
Yeah.
Tonight, if you're saved tonight, you can put your name in front of that. And God expects you and me to be a servant of God. And God has given you and me some things to do. Yet many people fail in their servanthood of God.
Yeah.
In their servitude for the Lord.
Yeah.
Many people fail and do not do the thing that God wanted them to do. Now, I find here this man's honest confession. I think if we look at it tonight, it might be the honest confession of you and the honest confession sometimes of me. That's why that we fail the Lord. I want to notice here, first of all, that this servant did not confess. I did not know what to do. He did not say in verse 40, as thy servant did not know what to do, this man got away. No, that was not his confession. Because he said, I was busy here and there. And he said, it got away. Now, you know, sometimes failure is due because we don't know what to do. I've failed many times in tackling a project that I really didn't know what I was doing. And I failed in it. My intentions were good. I thought I could do it. I wanted to do it. But after it's all said and done, I laid a failure, wasted money, wasted materials, and I failed because I literally did not know what I was doing. But can I tell you tonight that the things that God asked you and the things that God asked me to do tonight, we know how to do. It's not things that we can say, Lord, I failed at my job as a servant because I really did not know what to do. We might just look at a few tonight of the things that God asked us to do as saved people tonight and as servants of the Lord tonight. God says, study the Bible.
Yes.
Amen. God says, study to show yourself approved, that you might be a workman unto God. You might not be ashamed. Be a workman unto God.
Yes.
I'd say that majority of the people in this room tonight, you went to school for 12 years. Some of you more than that, some of you less. But you know how to read. You were taught how to study. And I think tonight probably everybody in this room knows how to read. Everybody in this room knows how to study. Some maybe better than others, but we all know how to do it. Yet we go through the week after week, and we don't read the Bible. We don't study the Bible. It's not because that we don't know how to do it. It's because we just failed to do it. Amen. You see tonight, God is not saying study the Bible because that He don't want you to see your favorite TV show. God is not saying study the Bible because He don't want you to talk to your friend or to shop a little while somewhere down the road. But God is saying study the Bible because it's the Bible that will help you to face life's battles. It's the Bible that will show you how to live and how to handle the devil when he attacks you. It's the Bible that will feed your soul and make you a strong child of God. And God says you ought to study the Bible. You know, the Bible doesn't really, as far as I know, the Bible doesn't ever really say read the Bible, but the Bible says study the Bible. Now in Revelations it says there, blessed is he that readeth. It does say that in Revelations. But God says the word that studied the Bible. You say, Brother Rick, I don't know how to study the Bible. Well, there's several ways you can study the Bible. You can take a book of the Bible and ask a few questions to yourself as you sit down with an open Bible. And you can say, who wrote this book? You can study and find that Paul wrote this book, or Matthew wrote this book, or Mark wrote this book. And then you can say, who's he writing to? You can say, well, he's writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing the church at Philippi, and then you could say, why is he writing this book? And most of the time, if you have a study Bible, it'll tell you Paul wrote to the church at Corinth because it's a worldly church, a carnal church. They had all kinds of problems. So you know, when you go into the Bible reading that, you realize Paul was talking to a church that had a lot of problems. And you say, how can I apply this thing to my life? How does this affect me? I'm not in the church at Corinth. I didn't live in Paul's time. How does this affect me? Well, because the same problems they had are the same problems that we have.
Amen.
So God says, study the Bible.
Amen.
Have you studied the Bible? Have you read the Bible? Tonight, I'm asking you not be accountable to me. I'm asking you to be accountable to God.
Amen.
You have a Bible. God expects you and me to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to apply that in our life. You say, why? It'll make us better servants for the Lord. And the reason we don't read the Bible is not because we don't have the knowledge to know how to do it. But that's not the reason of our failure there. You know, God said, be a witness for me.
Right.
Acts 1:8. Lord said, you men do with power from on high. And he says, you'll be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
One place God said, ye are my witnesses.
Right.
One place God says, how many times the Lord tells people that encounters him and gets saved, he says, go home and tell somebody what I've done for you.
Amen.
God said, be a witness for me. Everybody in here knows how to talk. If I could check your cell phone logs, I'd find out you've done a lot of talking this week. And if you didn't do a lot of talking, you did a lot of texting. Amen. We know how to talk. Our failure to witness to people is not that we don't know how to talk, but our failure there is some other reason other than that. We all know how to talk. Amen. God said, be a witness to me.
Amen.
How is it that we're around people 24/7, but we're around people every day. We go through week after week after week, and we talk to people about cars, jobs, sports, news, weather, but somehow or another we never talk to them about God. You see, God said, as a servant of the Lord, that you and me, that we're to talk to people about the Lord. We're to encourage people that they need the Lord. We're to tell people what great things God has done for us. But yet we find many times we fail in that task as a servant of God to talk to people about the Lord.
Amen.
How we need to do that.
Amen.
Now that God will bless our church.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah. If everybody sow a few seeds every week.
Yes.
Everybody talk to somebody and tell them what a great church that God's given us. Tell us how the Word of God is preached.
Amen.
Tell them how people have found help here. How the Lord has changed people's lives. How the Lord has put homes back together. How the Lord has took people that seemingly had no hope left at all. And the Lord has blessed them. How the Lord has delivered some off of drugs. How the Lord has healed some. How the Lord has saved many. Tell people, this is a great place. I tell you, if a new store comes in Glasgow, and people go there and they like it. They come out and they say, have you been to the new grocery store yet? Oh, it's great. So you go over there. You know what you're going to do? Next time you need to go to the grocery store, you're going over there. You say, why? They done roused your curiosity. You got to go over and see if it's good is what they said.
Yeah,
I don't expect everybody like my preaching. I'm really surprised if they do like it. In this day and hour in which we now live, but I'd like them to have a little taste of it. I'd like them to come and hear it. I'd like some of them ain't never heard preaching. Some of them ain't never heard the truth. Some of them ain't never heard Holy Ghost. I'm the Word of God in me. If they ever heard it, they might like it.
Amen, brother.
But you didn't like it either when you first heard it. That's right.
Amen.
I know Brother Eddie didn't. He's mad. The day he left, he said, I thought my wife had told me everything. Amen. She hadn't told me nothing.
Amen, brother.
Amen. That's what preaching, God's preaching do.
Right.
The Lord causes things to be said at the right time. Right place, right way.
Amen.
Amen. So you're afraid to offend somebody? I'm not trying not to.
Amen.
I'm just preaching.
Amen.
I'm just preaching. I mean, if I worry about everybody's going to get mad or offended, I quit that business a long time ago.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
If I say something that offends you and I'm wrong in it, I'll be glad to apologize to you for it. But I'll never apologize if it's the Word of God.
Amen.
What the Word of God says. I'm not going to apologize on that. And no other preacher ought to apologize for preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
God says witness. Talk to somebody about the Lord. We fail in that sometimes.
Talk to your neighbor about God.
God says give the Lord.
Amen.
He tells us where to bring it. Bring it to the house of God. He said bring all the tithes in the storehouse.
Yes.
He tells us when to do it. He said on the first day of the week. Let everyone lay in stores God's prosperous meal.
That's right.
It's not that we don't know how. Sometimes it's not that we don't have it. We don't have it to give. But we fail in that as a servant of God.
That's right.
God said pray. Amen.
God said, as a servant, you and I ought to pray.
Amen.
Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray. Don't faint. In other words, he said, don't quit praying.
Amen.
He kind of, Paul kind of says it again in a different way. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Philippians 4 said, in everything be careful, for nothing. He said, but in everything, he said, let with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Jeremiah 33:3, God said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not. The Bible said, Mark 11:24, God said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you'll have them. Jesus said, whatever thing you ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father might be glorified in the Son. Over and over, God says that you and I, as a servant of God, we need to pray. You say, what is praying? Well, it's talking to God. We've got to establish the fact we know how to talk. Prayer is talking to God.
Amen.
Asking God to bless our life and our friends and to save the lost ones and to help the missionaries and to bless our church and to keep the devil out and put the power of God in the church.
Amen.
Help people to grow in the grace and knowledge of God and stir up the young people and get them excited for God.
Right.
I mean, prayer is just telling God what we have a desire for Him to do in the church. And if that desire has come from Him, He'll do it. The Bible said, the Lord will give you the desire of your heart. You know what answered prayer is? That's nothing more than God has put a desire in your heart to call back to Him. If you call it back to Him and He answers it, you know, why? Because He put it in your heart to start with. That's why God answers that prayer. When it's Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. That don't mean praying in some language that nobody knows what you're saying. That's not what that's talking about. But He says praying in the Holy Ghost. That means the Holy Ghost is directing your prayer and telling you how to pray and impressing your heart on what you need to say.
Right.
And what is the will of God? I tell you, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, He'll give you by a witness of that. And I'll tell you, brother, the Holy Ghost praying gets anxious.
Amen.
God says pray.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Rick. Amen. God says be faithful in church.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
I know how to pray. I can pray. Why do we fail? Why at the end of the week can we only log up maybe just a few minutes of prayer for our church, for our services? Why is it we only log up just a few minutes of prayer at the end of the day when we're tired and wore out? There's nothing else on television. We've got to eat all we're going to eat, and we're tired of playing all our games, and we just lay down and put our head back and say a little prayer. And we wake up the next morning and realize we fail to sleep before we finish the prayer. And why is it we fail as a servant? Well, it's not because we don't know how to pray.
Right.
We know how to pray.
Right.
Most of our mothers, if they were Christians, they taught us when they was little to start praying. They made us pray there beside our bed. They taught us to pray for our brothers and sisters, and they taught us how to pray. We know how to pray. We've done that ever since we was a kid. Amen. Some of our parents, we were blessed, as Brother David said. They took us to church. They carried us to Sunday school. They took us down to the house of God. And we were brought up knowing that it's right for a person saved to go to church every Sunday to be in God's house every Sunday. God says, Hebrews 10:25, He says, don't forsake.
Yeah.
The assembling of yourselves together. In other words, God says, keep going.
Right.
He says, a lot of people are going to quit going to church, but God says, don't you quit going. Especially these last days.
Amen.
And so this servant, he failed. But he did not say, I failed because I did not know what to do.
Right.
He said, he was told what to do. Here's what he was told. He said, keep this man. I think a first grader could understand what that means. Brings a man to him, He said, keep this man.
Amen.
Don't let him leave. You watch him. Don't let him leave. Don't let him get away from you. Just keep this man. God's given us some things to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
God has given us some things to do that we understand, we know that we need to do it. I'm talking about why we fail as servants sometimes. Then he says this servant, what he didn't say, he didn't confess that I lack the ability to do what I'm asked to do. The Bible said that he said, keep this man. He could have done that. No doubt this man was taken in the battle. More than likely, he may have had chains on his hands. He may have had chains on his feet. No doubt he'd been in the battle. He may have been wounded. He was weary. No doubt he'd been disarmed. No doubt they took away all of his swords and any kind of arms he'd have. No doubt he'd been disarmed. He runs into this man and says, you just watch him. He could have done that. He had the ability to do it. Probably he had his sword. Probably that he's free, this other man is bound in some way. He can do what he says to do. It's not too hard for him to do. Did you know the things that God asked you and me to do? It's not too hard.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
It's not too hard.
That's right.
My, there might be places in the world where it would be hard. It might be hard to go to church in China tonight.
Yeah.
You'd have to slip down through the streets and go through the back alleys and down into some little underground place and maybe knock on the door and give a little password and go in there. It might be hard to go to church in China tonight.
Yeah.
It's not hard to go to church in America.
Amen, Brother Rick.
It might be hard to go to church in Hopewell, Jamaica, where I preached at there different times, and some of the people walk for 5 miles to go to church. What would you have done tonight if you had to walk 5 miles to church? What would you have done?
Amen, Brother. Amen.
You didn't have to walk.
Right.
We probably got $1 million worth of cars sitting out in the parking lot. I didn't see one junk out there. Everybody's got a car. We got the ability to get here.
Yeah.
We can obey God. Amen.
Amen.
We don't have to be out in a little tin shack. I've seen it. I've got pictures when I was over in Jamaica of a little old tin place. And I mean, it's supposed to be a church. And really, all it is like a lean-to with a few pieces of sheet metal nailed over the top. We don't have that tonight. We got a nice building. We got a $500,000 building sitting here. We got air. We got heat. We got carpet. We got padded seats. We got little footstools. We got water. We got everything we need. It's not hard tonight.
That's right.
Go to church. But some people are not doing it. Why are they not doing it? It's not because they can't do it. See, he only had to do this for a while. He just said, you watch this man, you take care of this man, and I'll be back in a little while to get him. Didn't have to do it forever.
Right.
He wasn't going to have to spend the rest of his whole life doing this. I mean, it's just going to be for a little while.
Amen.
God didn't say live in the church.
Right.
God didn't say you had to stay there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. God just said, just go a little while. Just go a little while, you see. He said, I'm coming back. Hey, we don't have to do this every day, all day long. But I tell you what, he is coming back.
Amen.
He is coming back. That's why I want to do what he told me to do and be faithful to him.
Amen.
He comes back. Praise God.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Rick.
Only have to be done a little while.
That's right.
Amen.
You see, it was thought. It was thought he could do it. You see, he says here, you know, all the things that I can't do. There's things I can't do tonight. I mean, I couldn't play the piano tonight if Sister Diane didn't show up. I couldn't get down there. And I could beat on it, but it wouldn't make no significant sound. You wouldn't be able to sing Amazing Grace with me playing the piano tonight. I can't do that. I don't have the ability to do that tonight. And so you couldn't get up here and preach tonight. You say, why? Because God ain't called you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
If God had called you, you might get up here and say some things, but if God ain't called you, you can't really get up here and preach.
Amen.
Some people can't teach tonight, and they are not supposed to teach. God has maybe called someone else to teach, and they can't teach. But see, God called this man to do something he could do.
Amen.
God said, just watch this man
He said, just watch this man. Don't let him get away. Keep him. I'm coming back soon. And he says, just do that. You see, God does not ask me, and God does not ask you things to do that we don't have the ability to do. Because, you see, if God asks you, now let me say this, I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, but really I ain't. But everything God asks us to do, we can't do. That's why we need the Lord. But you see, the Bible said, if I got the Lord, I can do all things that He asks me to do through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
See, God ain't asked me to play the piano. If He had, I could do it.
Amen.
Amen. But He ain't asked me to.
Right.
See, God asked us to do things that we can do with His by His help, by His grace.
Amen. Amen.
You see, I know there's people that's sick, and I understand that. Certainly God understands that. We know there's people that's, because of their physical health, they're not able to come to every service, and God understands that. I understand that. Everybody should understand that. We understand people in nursing homes can't get out and come to the house of God. Most of them can't. We understand that. Many of them did when they could, but they can't do it no more. But I'm talking about God is asking us to do things that we can do. And most of the people that's not here tonight that was here this morning, most of the people that was here this morning that are not here tonight, they're not here tonight because they can't do it.
Yeah.
Not because they're sick. Most of them not even because they're working. Most of them just didn't do it. They knew what time it was. They had a good car. They could have drove over here. They had nice clothes they could have put on.
Amen.
You see, it wasn't that they didn't have the ability to do it. It's just that they didn't do it.
Amen. Sad but true.
Amen. Let me go one step farther. Some of the people that are here tonight,
yeah,
that don't come back Wednesday night, it won't be because they're working. It won't be because they don't have a vehicle. It won't be because they know it'd be a good thing. It won't be because they know that they don't know God would have them to be here. But they failed for some other reason other than the fact they don't have the ability to do it. You know, this servant, he said, I'm just busy here and there, and he got away. And, you know, he didn't say he got away because I didn't really feel like it's my duty. I mean, he's a soldier. Man brings a man to him. This prophet, man brings a man to him, says, watch this man. Just watch this man. We've been out in the Bible. We're out there fighting the battle. We took this man in as an enemy, and all we want you to do is just watch the man. He said, all right, I'll watch the man. See, he felt like it was his duty.
Yeah.
How deep in his heart feel? He knew that it was his duty to watch the man. If others had went out there and fought the battle, if others had went out there and fought the battle and took the prisoner captive and brought him to it, surely it was his duty to watch the man if they asked him to do so.
Amen.
It's our duty to pray for our country and our soldiers.
Amen.
Pray for these brave men that fly into Iraq and trying to get out there and get out food to people and what was it, a week ago, they grabbed a hold of the helicopter and they couldn't take off and killed the pilot of that helicopter. My, how tragic. They was coming in there trying to help. They was coming in there trying to do what they can. They could say what they want us to about America, but you don't see nobody else flying in food.
Right?
Amen. Amen.
You don't see nobody else concerned about it.
Amen.
They're all hollering us, hey, do something.
Yeah.
Follow Americanism. Yeah. They got as much stuff as we got, some of them.
Yeah.
They can do something. And my point is I never was in the armed services. And I highly respect anybody that was in any capacity.
Right.
And especially veterans and people that have went over there and fought the battle. And some over there now, and some more, he'll be on the way probably. But it's my duty to pray for him.
Amen. Yeah.
If they go over there and fight the battle, I can at least pray for them back there. It's our duty to pray for them back here. Now let's reverse that faith. If you got people in the spiritual battle and they're fighting the battle, they're out there every day, they're preaching, they're out there witnessing, they're doing all these things. At least you can do is pray for those that are in the battle. Amen. Hold them up before God.
Amen.
It wasn't that he didn't feel like it's his duty to do it. Look at Luke 17. Jesus tells a parable about servanthood and service. In Luke 17, it's preceding a great sermon there about forgiveness. But we won't look at that. We'll look at verse 7. Luke 17, verse 7. And the Bible says, but which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. And he will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk him, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did that thing which was commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when you should have done all those things which are commanded you, saying, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now this is what Jesus said about servanthood. Jesus said, as a servant, you and I. You see, he gives us a little parable here. And he said, suppose you got a servant. Suppose that we live in the days of servanthood and you got a servant. And you bought, paid for that servant, got him out of whatever he's in, and now he's your servant there. And he's out plowing, he's out feeding the cattle. And then you come up to him and you say, well, I tell you, come on in from the field and you go down there and sit down and have some meat and I'll do that. He said, no. He said, you're not going to do that. Will he not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself and serve me. I have eaten and drunk and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. In other words, he said, you're not going to go get that servant. Stop his plowing. Stop him working in the field. I'd say, come here. I've bring him in the house. Set him down at the table. Take your coat off. I cook him a meal. I get him a glass of tea. I cook him. You're not going to do that. You say, why? Because he's the servant. You're not the servant. That's the way we do God. Many times we come in, we sit down, we say, God, serve me. Give me this. God, give me that. God's not the servant. We're the servant.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're the servant tonight.
Amen.
He says, doth he thank that servant because he did the things which was commanded him? I thank not or trow not. In other words, that servant comes in, he don't say, thank you, plow that field. And that servant comes in, he don't say, thank you for what I told you to do this morning. It's what Jesus said now. He said, so likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we know that which is our duty to do. In other words, you shouldn't have to be thanked for praying.
Right. Amen.
I shouldn't have to be thanked for coming to church.
Amen.
I shouldn't have to be thanked for witnessing.
Amen.
I shouldn't have to be thanked for giving.
Right.
Yet some people, if you don't pat them on the back every time they do some little task for the Lord, they feel like that they've been mistreated. They feel like somehow or another, they deserve more than that. But the Bible said when we've done all that there is to do, he said, just say, well, I'm an unprofitable servant. And all I was doing is what my duty was.
Hey.
I just do what my duty was. I mean, I appreciate a lady come out this morning and said, preacher, I enjoyed the sermon. I appreciate her doing that, but I don't have to have it because I'm just doing my duty.
Amen, brother.
God told me to preach. He called me to preach. I'm just doing my duty.
Amen.
It's nice when people pat you on the back. It makes you feel good sometimes when you're down. But I shouldn't expect that every week. You say, why? I'm just doing my duty.
Amen.
God says, when you've done all there is, when you've done everything I asked you to do, when you paid your tithes, when you've done the witnessing, when you prayed, when you went to church, when you've done all that I told you to do,
amen.
You're saved.
Reasonable service.
I'm an unprofitable servant, and I just do it my duty.
Amen.
Now that hurts the flesh a little bit.
Bless you.
But I got to think about that unprofitable servant. Unprofitable servant. You know, we have sometimes the church, you know, it's supposed to be an unprofit organization. You know, we're not to make money. That's not our business. We're not trying to make money. We're just trying to build up the kingdom of God. And we're non-profit, you know. We're considered non-profit. Sometimes they'll have hospitals and they'll say, this is a non-profit hospital. You say, what's that mean? That means they're supposed to be making no money.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
They're supposed to be making no money. So here's what I'm saying. You say, why does he say one profitable service? Because I owe a lot more than what I'm making.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean? I owe God so much.
Amen.
I owe God so much that I'll ever be indebted to God.
Amen.
Salvation's free. Christ paid for it all. But still, I'm indebted to God. I'm indebted to every man. I'm indebted. You say, why? I owe so much for what God's done for me. Amen. He'll never owe me anything. I'll always be owing God. I'm an unprofitable servant.
Amen.
I'll never make him more than what he spent on me.
Amen.
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 You get what I'm saying? I will never bless him more than what he's blessed me.
Amen.
Amen.
God never owed me anything.
Mm-hmm.
This man was doing this because he felt like it was his duty to do it.
Amen.
He said, you don't get served. You serve. You're a servant. You serve. You don't sit down and wait on God to serve you. God's the master. You serve God.
Amen.
You serve God. He said, don't expect to get praised when you do just what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
He said, don't expect to get patted on the back and bragged on every time you pick up a piece of paper out of the floor.
Amen.
God said, just realize you're a servant. And he said, you're just doing what you're duty to do.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look here now. We've looked at some things here of this servant's honest confession. Honest confession of what he didn't say. Sometimes it's not so much what a fellow says, it's what he don't say. And he didn't say, I don't know, I lack the knowledge to do this, to keep this man. He didn't say, I lack the ability. He didn't say, I don't feel like I should have kept this man. But here we are now. We're about done. But here's the main part of the sermon here. Here's what he does say. He said, I was busy here and there. As thy servant was busy here and there, I didn't do what I was told to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's the way we are. You see, while I was busy here and there, I let my man get away. I didn't watch my man, even though God said it was a life-threatening situation. God said it was that important.
Amen. Amen.
You know, folks don't think this in church is important.
Hold me, Brother Rick.
A little girl told me the other day, she said, I said, that's your church Sunday. She said, yeah, we missed church Sunday, but that ain't no biggie. I said, oh, honey, listen. I said, come here. I said, that's a biggie.
Bless you, brother.
That's a biggie. I said, it's important you go to church.
Amen.
It's important you be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
It's important you go to God's house every Sunday and be in God's house every Sunday. I could preach an hour on telling you people and think it was important, but let me show you their life tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
His failure was not due to outright laziness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people, most people are not too lazy to come to church on Sunday morning, even Sunday night. Most people are not too lazy. This man wasn't lazy. He said, I wouldn't lay it up in bed when he got away. He said, I was busy.
Yeah.
You see, there's a problem for our failures.
Amen.
Yeah. Because
we get too busy.
Amen.
It's a busy world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Our lives are so hectic, and I wonder who's behind all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder. We see the Lord. He's usually sitting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
See the Lord. He's usually standing somewhere. But we see Satan. What's he doing? He's going to and fro throughout the whole earth.
That's right.
If I was in the last days, he'd be running to and fro.
You did.
See. The failure was not due to outright laziness. Most people are not lazy. Oh, they don't come to church. They're busy. They're out mowing the yard. They're washing the house down. They're out doing this, out doing that. They're not lazy. They're just busy.
You see, their failure is to discipline their self. We have to discipline ourselves if we're going to be anything for God.
Amen.
People always tell me this. I hear it all the time. Preacher, I just don't have the time. I don't have the time either, but I make time.
Amen.
You say, why do you make time? Because there's some things that are priority.
That's right.
There's some things that are more important than other things. Jesus said, if you're going to be a disciple, if you're going to follow me, I mean, I can do different things on Sunday too. I can do things on Wednesday. I ain't got nothing to do on Thursday night or Saturday night at 8 o'clock. But what I'm saying is that we need to make priority of these things because they're important to God.
Amen.
Failure was due to not distancing himself.
That's right.
Luke 14:27, Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple.
Yeah.
He says, you have to die yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
I know what you want to do, but if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to not do what, not what you want to do, but you've got to discipline yourself to do what I want you to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's busy. He's not just busy here and there. Don't the devil do us that way?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning, you really intend to read the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
You got every intention to pray in that morning. And then the phone rings and then the kid comes in there and he can't find his shoe. And then you look around and the bus is pulled in, it's leaving, and the kids are still watching TV. Got all kinds of things going on. You really intend to do it, but you see the problem is that they're that we just get too busy. You see, I was busy here and I wonder what he's doing. He said, while I was busy here and there, I thought about that. I thought, I wonder what he's doing. I maybe just walked off and didn't bite to eat. Ain't nothing wrong with eating. All that wrong with eating is God didn't tell him to eat. God said, keep this man, don't let him get away.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, maybe walked off and maybe he needed to take a bath. Maybe went off to take a bath. Ain't nothing wrong with taking a bath. It's a good thing to do. I've been around some people I wish they had. Nothing wrong with taking a bath. All that wrong with it. God didn't say take a bath. God said, don't let this man get away.
Right.
Maybe he walked off, took a little nap. It's good to take a little nap. I took one this season, did you? Good to take a little nap. Nothing wrong with taking a nap. Only thing God didn't say, don't take a nap. Right now, God said, watch this man.
Amen.
Get away.
Amen.
Keep him. He said, I was busy here and there. I don't think he's doing anything really wrong. It was just wrong at the time he was doing it because he needed to be doing something else.
Amen.
Amen.
Boy, isn't that the way it is?
Time
or... It's not that there's anything wrong with what most people are doing when they're not at church, when they're not doing what God tells them to do. It's just that they're doing it at the wrong time.
Amen.
They're doing it when God told them to do something else.
Amen.
God didn't say go to Walmart on Sunday morning. God said go to church.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Nothing wrong going to Walmart. I don't guess. But there is something wrong with doing it when God says go to church.
Amen.
Amen.
So, let me say this. Jesus emphasized this. And I mentioned it this morning. Ties in what I preached this morning. But Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's right. And all His righteousness.
Amen.
He said, first of all, seek the kingdom. First of all, get saved. First of all, live for God. First of all, do what God wants you to do. First.
Amen.
Amen.
And then all these other things.
Yeah.
Lord said, I'll give you all these other things, but do what I want you to do first. 1 Timothy 2:1, you know what it says? 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, first of all, let prayer be made.
Amen.
First of all, let prayer be made. Paul knew that. That's why the Bible said at midnight they prayed. That's why then they sang praises to God.
Amen.
Paul knew the first thing that'd be done was prayer. It was prayer. We know that, but that ain't the first thing done many mornings in our life. You say, why? We're busy. We're busy here and there. Amen. We quit talking to God to talk to some mortal man. We quit talking to God that's got all the answers. We need to talk to somebody else that's got problems and wants us to give them answers. Not saying we shouldn't do that. But we should knock God off the line to talk to somebody else.
Amen.
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 That's His teaching.
Why did this servant fail? He failed because he just got busy and he was just here and there doing other things. He was majoring in minor things.
Amen, Brother Rick.
He was majoring in the minor things. And he was getting minor in the major things.
Amen.
As a servant of God, as a child of God, this generation needs somebody to set them an example.
That's right.
Amen. Of what it means to live for God.
Amen.
This generation has been taught that church is not important.
Oh,
the Bible reading is not important. Oh, prayer is not important. We got a generation of young people that grow up that think that if you've got a list of 100 things important, church is the last thing on the list.
Oh, man.
We need some mamas and daddies and Christians and,
yeah,
and neighbors to show people the most important thing in this world is God.
Heaven.
Amen.
And the things of God is the most important thing there is. They take priority over all other things.
Yeah.
And if you and I are not careful,
let them slip.
We'll be like this servant. And we'll get busy here and there.
Yeah.
And things will begin to die in our life. And it won't be God's fault.
Amen.
Amen.
As he said here, it'll be our fault.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Want the pianist player to come tonight? If she would, please. Brother Josh, could you lead the singing for me tonight? My voice is a little number 124. If it's 124, I'll help you. I'm sure you don't need my help. You'll come up here, brother, number 124, just as I am. Let's stand, if you would, please. An honest confession of failure. We could probably all identify with that tonight. Ask God's help.
The Word of God.
We don't let our man get away. We don't let the thing God put in our charge get away.
Help us, Lord.
Let's pray about that. Father, help us tonight in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we might, like Brother Bill,
amen. Somebody in my life this week, let me know who that somebody is. He wants to talk to me. By the grace of God, I'll say a word for him for Jesus.
Help.
I may not preach a sermon, but I'll say a word for him for Jesus. That I'll put somebody in your life like that. These young people got in camp this year and got stirred up for God. Well, they've been going out, going into schools, some of them taking the Bibles, some of them.
praying, some of them witnessing. I'm proud of you. Proud of you.
Amen.
I will tell you this. I love you. I will tell you this. The devil's going to attack you full force.
He will.
How many people say, I'll pray for you?
Yeah.
We didn't know behind the enemy lines. They're trying to hold up the standards. They're trying to do something for God.
Amen.
God bless them.
Amen.
Pray for them. Amen. Amen. Keep them in your prayers. Let's don't let them down.
Amen.
That's our young person. That's the one God put in their charge. God said, pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for them. Don't forget them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Lord, I thank you tonight for this service. And I thank you for this church. Lord, you blessed me with some good people. Lord, you blessed us with a good pastor. Thank you. People, Lord, listen to the truth, love the truth, amen, the truth.
Yes.
And I believe it's in the Lord, the Lord to do it. But Lord, we all are just flesh. We fail. We come short many times of what we ought to do, what we ought to be. But it's in there, Lord. We want to do it. God, that you revive us again, and put a new zeal in our heart tonight, just like the day we got started. I'll be so excited. Lord, we just wanted to tell everybody about the Lord. We couldn't get enough church. God, that you just put that kind of zeal back in our life again tonight for the glory of God. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do every day for us, what you're going to do for us. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight, it feels like, Lord, they're not where they need to be with God.
Yeah, Lord.
Lord, in this next verse of song, I pray that this, they'd humble themselves down, humble enough, low enough to walk out, kneel down, and say, God, I need help.
Lord, I agree with my brother.
Help me, Jesus, I pray. Yes, Christ, amen. We're going to sing one more verse.
Mark said, well, look at there.
He said, look who just come in the door. And I turned around, and it was Christian Strong.
Yeah.
And I tell you, when he walked through the door, he looked like an angel to me.
Yeah.
And these women sat behind me, and I turned around, and I had a tear in my eye. I said, I used to be scared to death of that man. And they said, really? I said, yeah, because I was lost.
Yeah.
And I said, me and him are going to the same place.
Yeah.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. Let me see that man again before he went to him.
That's good. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? Disobedience, but on the other hand of the thing, aren't you glad you're close enough to God that it bothers you?
Amen.
Amen.
Think about how many people don't ever think twice about it.
Yeah, right.
I never want to get like that.
Amen.
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 All right, yes.
When you're talking about being
busy,
it really
hurts
me when you say that you're not busy. And that's all I say to everybody. How are you? I'm busy. I got more things on my to-do list than I can do.
That's right.
And the last few weeks or so, I've been cleaning out one of my rooms. I call it my sewing room. I have all the things in there that I have plans to get to do.
Yeah.
And I've been accumulating them since we've been here, so it's been a long, 7 years of a lot of stuff. And anyway, I cleaned it all out, gave a bunch away, threw a bunch away, and I feel so much better. I don't have it on my mind. It's not a burden. I'm not thinking about it.
Amen.
And I'm back to visiting.
Amen.
Something I'm too busy to do. Now
Amen.
I know.
That's good. That's good. God bless you. Amen. Plus you have somebody else to give right. stuff to.
Amen.
All right. Yes.
I want to thank God for saving me, and I want to thank Him that He will give you the strength to do what you thought you could never do, and
Amen.
The places you thought you would never
Amen.
Go.
Yes, yes. Amen. Amen.
I just like to pray for people that come here on Sunday morning and fail to come here on Sunday night.
Bless you.
Just don't know what they're missing.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
The biggest place you've ever got there on Sunday night. I think
his
band's better. I just think
everything's
better.
Hey. Amen. Amen. Man, used to, probably most people in this room, if not all, at one time, you probably never thought twice about going on Sunday night. Probably once was enough.
Right.
But now you've been doing it for years, and You don't even think nothing about it. You just, I mean, night comes and you get up just like you get up and go to the table. You get up and go to the house of God. You know, and that's good when you get that discipline in your life.
Yeah.
Get up Sunday morning and you get ready. You're talking to God. You're not talking to the weatherman first to see if you're going to go to the house of God. You just get up and go. No matter what the weather's doing, you're going anyway.
Amen.
And that comes in your life. And I used to didn't go. We didn't go at all. My cousin's mother finally stayed on us manly enough till we finally went to church and finally started going on Sunday morning. And then wasn't long she started this Sunday night stuff. And I can remember telling Max Helen, I tell you, she's got to join on Sunday morning, but I'm not going on Sunday night. That's enough, you know. And then, of course, she won that battle too. And then we started going on Sunday night. And then the next thing you know, she's talking about, y'all will come to Wednesday night. It's really good. And anyway, she finally, with her constant witnessing and praying and concern, she got us in. I'm glad she did. Amen. All right,
buddy. I'd like to thank the Lord again for the message, being able to be here tonight, feel what I felt. And I just praise the Lord. I appreciate what Brother Bill said. He said he's on his way to church tonight. Got a phone call, said the cows was out. Said he's in the hay field. He said, let him have it.
Yeah.
He said, how much can he eat? I appreciate that. That encouraged me. I catch myself from time to time. And everyone, if you're not careful, you'll get in this dilemma. Like you said, you'll put things in the wrong place and get things out of kilter. I've been trying to put God first. Appreciate the preaching. It's been right what I needed. And I am trying to get my house in order. I don't know how many days I've got, but my wife will tell you, I'm a procrastinator and I'm trying to get out of that. I'm trying to be a little more punctual. I'm trying to put some diligence on things that I've been aiming to do for a long time, but sure has been good to be here tonight.
Amen. All right. Anybody else for David?
Seems I've got 2 or 3 thoughts. I hope the Lord's in all of them. But seems I've come to more Sunday night church lately than I have Sunday morning.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to make no excuses. I know you know, but them big crooks, sometimes it just can't seem to get it all done on Saturday. I'm not making an excuse. And I'm certainly not offended by anything the priest here tonight. But something about coming and trying to come record that touched my heart deep was probably 17 or 18 years ago. And I met Brother Eddie, of all places, in prison.
Yeah.
But we went and met up there to witness to people before we met him. And then through that, he had invited me to come to the nursing home and hear him preach. And so, I don't know, a couple of Sunday mornings later, I went. But there was a lady that walked up the hallway as best she could, and it was obvious Brother Eddie might would know her name. I do not. It's very obvious she had struggle. She had an arm all cupped up, and she was dragging one leg.
Yeah.
Coming up the hallway. She was glad to see Brother Eddie. And the Lord pierced my heart with that. Because I thought, it ain't no trouble for me to jump in my Lincoln Town car and go to the house of God. That lady has put some effort,
yes, sir,
to dragging that lady and coming to hear Brother Eddie. Mm-hmm. And she only got to hear him once a month. And I've never forgotten that. The Lord has never let me forget that. And I hope as long as I've got my right mind, he never does.
Amen.
Something else I want to share. Is thankfully this morning I wasn't working on no big ones. Of course, I called and talked to you a minute here.
Yeah.
And left the horse and asked for Brother Stacy. Me and Vicky and Tyler put several miles on the car. We took a little vacation, slipped out. It's the only way I could get him rest. Let's just get away. And of course, we wound up visiting with Vicky's aunt. You've met her, and Sister Sally has met her. But the church she attends has got Baptist over the door. But I don't know no nice way to put the place as a white sepulcher.
Amen.
That's the best I know to say.
Amen. With that.
And I had said something the other day to Dickie and Tyler. I said, I do not want to go to that tomb. But I don't know a nice way to tell Margaret to kill him. And so Tyler mentioned that he'd like to call his friend Connor, which was Callie on the way, to come back through. whom I'm sure you know.
Right, yes.
And I said all that to say this. It was good to stop and visit another church this morning of like precious faith. And I know many people that say they appreciate you, and I appreciate you, Brother Rick, and Sister Matt, not to set you on pedestal. But it was a good report that anybody and everybody that asked who are you? Are you from Owenton and whatever like that? Not all week in Glasgow County. Immediately, person after person. You go to Brother Rick's church?
Yeah, ma'am.
You go to Bethel Baptist?
Good report.
And you were well thought of. You've never offended nobody else there, Brother.
Amen.
It's good to have that kind of fellowship 150 miles away.
Amen. You have a pastor like the Urban Spears, you ain't going to the family.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else? Brother Fred.
Amen. I don't know about me. All my brothers keep playing me in fire. I do mow the foot of all what I should be doing. I ain't got no cue.
All right, so lights are coming down pretty good outside. So I know all you gentlemen be going to get the cars and pulling up another and picking your wives up and the girlfriends or whatever the case might be. All right, so we're going to let you go. Don't forget, I need to meet the trustees just a minute over here and Sister Diane. Over here just a minute. You're free to go. God bless you.